I'm KCII News Director Sally Hart, and on this edition of the Agriculture Magazine, I'm speaking with state climatologist Justin Glisson about the spring flood outlook for the state of Iowa. The spring flood outlook has been released for the state of Iowa. What are some of the things that really caught your eye when it came out?
So what caught my eye is the amount of stream gauges that we have across the state that show the risk of minor to major long-range flood risk. And if you look at the total gauges that we have across the state, we have 258. 70 of those gauges, mostly along the Missouri and Mississippi basins, have a 50% or greater major long-range flood risk, which is substantial when you look at the amount of precipitation and snowfall that we've had across the state.
Are we still seeing ice jams on area rivers, whether that's the Iowa, the Mississippi?
We are, and especially this week with the, we're in a pronounced period of precipitation across the state, mostly rainfall. But as we warm up and as we get increased stream flows, that's when we do see more ice in the streams and rivers. So we do get, especially this week, moving in towards the end of the week, a more or a higher chance of ice damming on the rivers.
And going back to last fall before the real first snow hit, we were in pretty wet conditions.
Absolutely. We had the third wettest autumn on record. Moving in from the last part of September into the early part of October, those 2 weeks we had precipitation that we haven't seen for those 2 week period in longer than 30 years. So yes, very wet autumn.
Followed by a heavy snowfall for the winter.
Absolutely. We had the snowiest February on record. Statewide, we had about 38.9 inches from December 1st through March 11th today, and that's about 16 inches above normal. So yes, quite a substantial snowpack.
And as we see that snow melt, that's going to have an impact on the flooding.
That's correct. So if you look at the snow water equivalent of the snowpack that we have across the state, it's anywhere between 2 and 4 inches of liquid water. So that melting into the streams, since our soils are still frozen, and if you look at the soil moisture content of the subsurface, we're anywhere from 95 to 99th percentile wetness. So that means we're about as wet as it gets. So any kind of runoff, melting snow or precipitation that we get will most likely go into our streams.
And looking at trends from the past, is this similar conditions to some of those years like 2008?
We are, the modeling that we have been doing, there are some gauges that are mimicking what we saw in 2008. Now again, it's early in the melt, so it depends on exactly how fast the snowpack melts. And then if you look upstream into Minnesota and Wisconsin, they've had record snowfall in parts of those two states. So again, depending on how fast that snowpack melts and if we have any precipitation moving forward, that will definitely impact the probability of moderate to major flooding.
And here in Washington County in southeast Iowa, what kind of implication do you feel this will have as farmers start to look at spring planting?
Right. As I said, the subsoil moisture profile, we're seeing 95th to 99th percentile wetness. So any type of early field work probably is not going to happen given the amount of wetness that we see out there. Moving forward into the middle of the month, though, we are seeing in our precipitation outlooks a below average chance of precipitation. So we do see a pathway to drying of the soil and melting of any snowpack in southeast Iowa. So again, we're really looking towards the amount of precipitation that we're forecasted to get. And moving past the middle of the month, we do see a pronounced drying period.
And here in Washington, last April was the coldest on record. Looking at long-term forecasts, are we looking for another cold spring?
The current outlooks that we have were moderated by the probability of an El Nino formation in wintertime going into spring. We had sea surface temperatures in the tropical Pacific that were reaching El Nino phase. The atmosphere did not couple to that, so we didn't have an El Nino form until the last part of January. Now, moving into the spring, the weak El Nino signal that we're getting doesn't give us a lot of confidence in the temperature outlook. So what we're looking at right now moving into spring and to early summertime is an equal chance for above, below, or climatological behavior. So we just don't have a lot of temperature guidance right now.
And again, talking about the moisture content of the grounds and the frost levels, will it take quite a while for those frost levels to warm up?
Yes, that's a good question. So anywhere between 12 inches to 20 inches is the current frost depth across the state, with southeastern Iowa having a shallower frost depth. The snowpack has insulated the soil, so that prevents a rapid thawing of the subsoil. But moving into longer days in March, going into April, and given the forecast of a pronounced dry period, we do see these subsoils melting at what we would expect a climatological rate, yes.
And if it's in that kind of condition, will that then be gradual?
Yes. That being said, any type of moisture precipitation that we get on top of the subsoil, topsoil profile, will help melt as we move from the 4-inch level down to where we see the frost level, right about 11 or 12 inches.
And so far, 2019 has had some pretty cold temperatures as well. We talked about the polar vortex back in January. Will that have any kind of implication then on these soil conditions and the snowfall?
I think if you look at the polar intrusion that we had at the end of January moving into February, February was below average by almost 9 degrees across the state, with the southern part of the state a tad bit warmer. The damage was done with the, we had a wet December. We were 5 degrees above average, so any precipitation that fell was generally rainfall. But even back in November when the blizzard came through southeastern Iowa, substantial snowpack was put down then, and then moving into February where southeast Iowa had 7.3 inches. The snowpack combined with the wet autumn moving into the wet winter time, that really set a really, really wet subsoil profile. So we do need smaller chances of precipitation and extended drying to get those soil profiles into a good working condition.
And like you said, this all started all the way back in autumn.
Absolutely. It was kind of odd. Since southeastern Iowa was in drought, peak drought was August 21st, and then we get into September and October were third wettest on record. So we really saw a flip from dry conditions in the summertime to really wet conditions, and that just proceeded through wintertime.
All right. Well, as we enter spring, is there anything that you would like to say to our area agricultural community?
Yes. With all the subsoil moisture that we have and the pronounced snowpack across northern Iowa and Minnesota and Wisconsin, we're really paying attention to our stream gauges and the probability of flooding, especially downstream of all these major snowpack. So southeastern Iowa, we're keeping an eye on. Again, the short-term outlooks that we have show a dry period moving towards the second half of March, moving into April. So we should see a period of a good amount of dryness that will help melt some of the snow, dry the soil, and hopefully get our farmers out in the fields.
That's been State Climatologist Justin Glisson speaking about the flood outlook for the state of Iowa. I'm KCII News Director Sally Hart on this edition of the Agriculture Magazine.
I'm Brandon Shanahan with KCII News. On this segment of the Agriculture Magazine, I'm speaking with Pork Queen Gracie Griner to talk about the pork industry in southeast Iowa.
So let's just get started with this. Can you tell me a little bit, give me an idea on how long you've been around pork and the pork industry as a whole?
Yeah, so my dad started raising pigs for 10 years when I was younger. And so I'd always been on the farm helping him do all the tasks around the farm. And then when I got older, I started doing 4-H, and then I showed pigs through that, and we eventually kept some gilts back, and we bred and farrowed them for our own showing, and now I show them at the state and local level.
Awesome. And then you were also named Pork Queen. Can you tell me a little bit about what that means and kind of what that role is?
Yeah, so this past January, I was selected as the Iowa Pork Queen. There are two other ambassadors along with the Queen, and they do the same things that I do. So we go around to events like county fairs, banquets, parades, cook-offs, stuff like that, and we get to promote pork throughout Iowa.
And then how important is it to promote pork in Iowa?
Yeah, it's really important to promote pork anywhere, not just Iowa, but here a lot of people, even though we do live in such a rural community, they don't know what we do as swine farmers. So it is important to educate them as much as we can and advocate for the agriculture industry.
You talked about educating other farmers on what the swine industry is like. What do you usually tell them that maybe they didn't think of beforehand?
Yeah, so when farmers start to raise pigs, they go through a program called PQA Plus, and it shows them how to safely handle the pigs and how they how all the barns should be regulated and stuff like that. So I feel like some people don't think about the care aspect of it. We truly care about our animals, and that is our number one priority when we raise our swine.
Awesome. And then what kind of work and preparation goes into, first of all, being Pork Queen and then going around and being able to educate people on the industry?
Yeah, so it takes a lot. Since I was in the pork industry, I knew a lot of stuff already about it, but obviously there's so much to learn. And so we kind of filled out an application, and then we did interview processing, and then we did a test and some things like that. And that's kind of your basic knowledge of the pork industry, and that's what you want to know to go out and educate others, so you're not telling them things that you don't know are true or whatever. So, yeah.
And then, yeah, growing up with your dad being a farmer, what kind of role has he played into you becoming a pork queen and all the stuff that you get to do with that?
Yeah, without my dad, I don't know if I would be in this position I am right now. He is the one who, like, kind of pushed me to show swine at the county fair, and then he was the one that was able to let us keep our pigs and then breed and farrow them, and it's so cool to see the whole process on our own farm.
Awesome. And then what's been your favorite part about being Pork Queen?
So I've only been Pork Queen for a short while, and we haven't had too many events yet because it's kind of still winter and gross out. But we did an event called Swine Spectacular, and youth all from all over Iowa came to Ames, and they did little stations and learned more about the swine industry. They learned how to cook pork, and then there was a competition along with that, and then there was top winners of that. So we got to help them with the whole process, and it was really fun.
And then I'd imagine at some point it started to warm up. What events are you looking forward to throughout the next year or so?
Yeah, so one of the main events I'm really excited about is we get to go to Washington, D.C., to promote pork in Washington, D.C., which a lot of people, they don't know what pork is because they're not around it like Iowans. And so that's going to be one really fun thing. Another thing we do is we go to the World Pork Expo, which is here in Des Moines. So that'd be good for us to go to and promote pork there as well. And then all the county fairs I'm just really excited about.
Awesome. And then, yeah, just how big of a deal is the pork industry in Iowa? I know it probably just seems like everyday stuff, but when you look at the national impact and the global impact that that the swine industry has. How big is it in Southeast Iowa?
Yeah, Southeast Iowa. So Washington County is one of the top swine producing counties in Iowa. And the whole state alone, we raise around 50 million pigs each year. So that's a lot of pigs. And that's about one third of all swine raised throughout the nation. And so that's really cool to think about, that we are the number one swine producing state. And we just get to take that pride.
So do you have any thoughts or ideas on how to keep the swine industry thriving in Southeast Iowa, or any improvements that you think that we could make?
The swine industry is growing every single day. So in Southeast Iowa, I mean, we should just take in all of those new things that people are coming up with, new ways to raise pigs, new ways to do other things in the swine industry. And then I believe that our counties will be able to be caught up with everybody else.
I think going forward, after high school, do you have any plans on staying in the swine industry, or what do you plan on doing next?
Yeah, so after high school, I plan to go to Iowa State University and major in animal science. And then from there, I kind of want to go the pre-vet route and see if I want to be a veterinarian. We'll see. I don't know how that'll all work out. But if not, I definitely want to stay in the swine industry as a backup plan.
So I know you just started, but what kind of advice could you give to like a future pork queen or anybody else who's interested in doing what you do?
Yeah, so if you're involved in the swine industry and you want to have a leadership role, such as the pork queen, just go for it. Go for it. You're not gonna lose anything from trying. So it's a really great opportunity. I already met a whole bunch of new people just from the Pork Congress where we got selected. And it is, again, such a great opportunity.
How is it being able to connect with other people in the industry from around the state and being able to travel and do all of that?
Yeah, a lot of people I probably wouldn't know from just these 3 months that I've been Pork Queen. I wouldn't have known if I didn't do this. And so I'm going to get to travel all across Iowa and promote pork, which is something I'm really excited about, because I normally just stay around here in Southeast Iowa. So going to other counties and seeing what their pork industry is like there, that'll be really cool.
Awesome. Well, you hit all of my points. Is there anything that I missed or anything else you wanted to highlight about the industry or being Pork Queen or anything along those lines?
I don't think so, but if there's any other questions, you can go to iowapork.org and get any information you need off of that website.
And that's been Pork Queen Gracie Griner to talk about the pork industry in Southeast Iowa. I'm Brandon Shanahan with KCII News.